Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the Friday edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb as we take you into the holiday weekend. And you know what? It really doesn't matter what weekend we're taking you into. This is the good, the bad, and the dumb. It stands alone. What's the good of the day?
The good of the day. Whether you want to agree with this or not, the answer was still spot on.
Okay.
And that's Shaquille O'Neal. He gets the good of the day because he was asked whether or not he thought professional e-sport athletes were actually athletes.
Okay. I'd like to hear his answer. Yeah.
His answer was very thought-provoking. He says he does consider esport players to be athletes. He wants to commend those guys. He talked about a show that he used to do, Shaq Versus.
Right.
Where he took on other athletes. He said, you know, hey, he took on Dale Earnhardt Jr., and his body was aching after being in a race car for a little bit. He took on Michael Phelps and realized that, you know what, hey, you know, swimming is 15% physical. All the rest is mental.
Yeah.
And so he does consider esport athletes to be athletes. Or
yeah,
esport player, professional players should be athletes.
I guess everybody's athletic definition is a little different. But
yeah,
I'm always one to say, look, if we broaden the term, if like hand-eye coordination, you know, things like that, that's...
Yeah, it involves using your brain a little bit more.
That's usually pretty athletic. So I kind of agree.
Extend it a little bit further. Is you know, professional chess players like Bobby Fischer, would he be? He was considered an athlete,
okay,
right? Or
yeah,
are we stretching it a little too much?
Now we might be stretching it.
So I don't know, but I mean, you know, he did say, he's like, you guys have a short shelf life too. You guys are only in the sport for like 3 to 5 years. Like,
is that true? You can't be a gamer for like 20 years.
Well, I think you can be a gamer for as long as you want, but I think, you know,
like if I am a professional Call of Duty player, is my shelf life 3 or 4 years because the competition coming up is so talented?
Maybe, I think so.
Or could I have a 15-year career playing Call of Duty or Rampage?
I have no idea.
Is there a Ms. Pac-Man professional league? Because I think I'd be pretty good at that. I'm good at Ms. Pac-Man.
I think there used to be back in the day.
Man, my kids were never impressed with my Ms. Pac-Man skills at every hotel arcade we ever were at. Never were impressed. They looked at that video game like, oh, it's caveman time.
You go up and down and up and down.
How hard is this?
Side to side.
Eat the strawberry, yeah. Ugh, how difficult is this? Well, yeah, good for Shaq for sort of, you know, kind of
just laying it out
in
there.
On this. Yeah. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is, I mean, I think this is something that you might be wanting to explore a little bit more.
Okay.
But there are two professional teams that are about to go on sale.
Oh, okay.
The Seahawks and the Trailblazers.
Oh, okay.
Because
Paul Allen?
Because Paul Allen died.
Yep.
But in his will, he said anything that was in his trust must be sold to fund his passion projects. Meaning the Trailblazers and the Seahawks must be sold.
What was his passion project?
Oh, I don't know. I have the list of those.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Does he have kids that would technically own this? Is this one of them family legal fights?
It was widely believed that everything was going to be passed along to his sister.
Oh, okay.
Jody Allen. But that turns out not to be the case because of what is explicitly laid out in his will.
So the Seahawks and the Portland Trailblazers are now up for grabs.
Yeah.
So grab a couple of billion and you'll get one.
Or soon to be.
Yeah.
Soon to be.
I'd love to see. What was the last? Okay, because the Broncos are up for sale too. And there's like there's been a whole bunch of people coming out and trying to buy the Broncos.
Yeah.
I wonder.
And they're expecting about $4 billion for the Broncos.
Yeah, I was going to say, about $4 billion for the Broncos. What would Seattle round the same number? Or
probably. I would imagine. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues with the Seahawks, but I don't think that matters. I mean, both of these teams are set up perfectly because, you know, they really did things for the future, for the draft. You know, I mean, just trading away all, like, their best players. But yeah, I mean, it's an NFL team. We talk about it all the time you know, this isn't about owning something like buying a business. This is a status.
It really is. It's
that
an
not many people
status.
Get to have.
I know I've said this many times, but you can go back way back where in like the 70s where these things weren't very, very profitable. And some teams even lost a little money and owners, it was okay. Like they would just, they would be like, look, I have a bunch of businesses. I'm wealthy. I don't mind losing a little money on this if I own the thing in the city. Like there's no business that I own that's quite the same in terms of status as owning the professional team in the city. You know, like you may own a couple of car dealerships. I always bring up car dealerships, but car dealerships are like George Steinbrenner, a shipping company, but cameras aren't going to be in your face all the time like they are when you're the owner of the local professional team. And it does give you some, you know, like an endorphin kick, you know, and it's an elite club. And the fact now that these things print money and there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. I wouldn't say that they're guaranteed to make money forever. I mean, in 100 years, who knows where we are with football? Who knows? But it does seem likely that for a long time, this will just continue to print money for you and your family forever. It just, the values are going to just keep going up. I mean, yeah, it's, and to see people who can buy anything that they want, not be able to buy this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I remember Mark Cuban said that he was single at the time. He's married now with kids, but when he bought the Mavericks, he was single. And he said he bought the biggest house he could find because he didn't want any of his players living in a better house than him. He was the owner of the team. So he bought like this huge mansion for like, it was all by himself. He just bought this huge house because that was the status, you know, it's like, because you can, but you can't buy an NFL team if none are for sale and you may not get approved even if you have all the money in the world.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that.
And let's face it, we know that these things don't go up for sale because they want to try to keep it in the family forever.
Of course. Absolutely. The fact that Pat Bowlen's family has been really struggling to figure it out since he died is almost sad.
Yeah. This is a weird one because this is Paul Allen's request.
Yeah.
You know, his dying wish is to say, hey, you know, these passion projects mean more to me than the Trailblazers do or the Seahawks do.
Yeah, that's right.
I learned something. I didn't even know he was the owner of the Blazers.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
If I owned a team, it didn't matter what sport it is. If I owned a team and my kids, I would say, hey, what do you guys want to do with your lives? And, you know, oh, I want to be a doctor or I want to be a physical therapist or I want to be, I'd be like, too bad. You're in the business of this.
Yep.
Sorry. I know you have dreams, but your dreams are done. We own the Nashville Predators and you're in the hockey business now, because when I die, I don't want you guys going, I never really liked this anyway, so I'm selling it. No, that's not how this is going to work.
Nope. Keep it forever.
You guys are going to learn the business, especially NFL. I mean, like the Hunts and the Maras and the Rooneys,
yes.
Right? I mean, like the first families of the NFL who've owned these teams, like their kids are like, yep, Steinbrenners in baseball. Like, we own it. We got to learn it because dad doesn't want us to ever sell it ever. So, yeah.
So it should get interesting.
Exactly. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
I got two, and one is more disturbing than the next.
Okay.
I hate both of these, but, you know, I'm going to bring them up. First one is called Period Crunch.
Which is?
A Swedish-based cereal company has made uterus-shaped cereal to normalize period talk at the breakfast table.
No, that's disgusting.
Now, fortunately for us, you cannot buy these in stores, but you can order them to normalize talk.
I don't even know,
how do you sit around in a boardroom one day and go, you know what we should make?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Like, how do you get there?
Right. So. No, I don't want that.
And the next one, the next dub of the day, definitely will bother you.
Okay.
All right. Since it is considered public domain, there are certain characters, certain books out there, certain storylines that are considered public domain that people can, you know, just use at their willing.
Right.
So coming to I don't know if it's going to come to a theater near you. I can't imagine this being released in a theater, but it will probably be released somewhere, via some streaming service. you will be able to take in Winnie the Pooh, blood, and honey.
I saw this yesterday.
So
the horror movie based on the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Yeah. Based on it, and it really centers around Pooh and Piglet because they decide to go on a rampage after Christopher Robin leaves them behind while he attends college. That they have to fend
enough of this.
Yeah, they have to fend for themselves, and it turns into a bloodthirst revenge.
Ugh. What if this movie's actually pretty decent?
Well, I want to refuse that it is.
I do too.
I don't know. I mean, it is. I saw this. I was like, I can't believe this is a thing.
Well, you know what? I think the idea probably came from the Christopher Robin movie. Did you see the Christopher Robin movie?
Yes, I did, with Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, there's like a scene where he's just yelling at Winnie the Pooh for being annoying.
Right.
Like he's so stressed. And then somebody probably watched that and went, you know, if I was Pooh, I would have turned around and kicked that guy right in the
rear. Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have taken this from Christopher Robin. So he probably said, what if Winnie the Pooh had a dark side? And then just sort of morphed it and just sort of went, and let's just, no ideas are bad ideas, people. Let's throw it out on the table. And everybody was like, what if Piglet had like horns and a tusk? And he was like, nope, no idea is a bad idea. Let's write it down. Let's get this done. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fortunately for us too, Jim Cummings will not be voicing this version of Woody the Pooh.
We had Jim Cummings on the show years ago.
Yes, we did.
Exactly.
Father's Day, I think, wasn't it last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. He wrote a book about fathers and whatnot, and we had him on the show. Real quick, Patton Oswalt, the comedian, has a very funny bit that he does that's related to this, where he talks about a movie called Deathbed, The Bed That Eats People. And he talks about it, but he talks about it in a way I've never thought about movies before. And what he said was, because sometimes you see a really bad movie and you go, oh, this is a bad movie. Everyone who's involved should be embarrassed. But the way Oswald talks about Deathbed, the bed that eats people, is that he reminds you that people woke up at 5 a.m. and brewed coffee. They built sets. They brought in food. They fixed cameras. They edited. They scored it. Like, there's a whole bunch of people that worked on these awful, awful, awful movies. And when you think about it, it's like, and they had to be somewhat enthusiastic about it, right? Like somewhere, like a director, producer, actors, like at some point there has to be a feeling like, nah, I'm all in. Like I'm all in. And when I see this Winnie the Pooh horror movie, I think to myself of everybody that had to build costumes and masks and sets. And at some point they all had to be like, nah, I'm in. I'm in on this. Whatever this is going to be, I'm in.
When they first got the script and they're doing their table read. And I mean, that's what I'm picturing, too. That when they're doing the table read and they're just kind of figuring it all out. And you got directors, producers, everyone with notebooks.
Right.
And, you know, it's like the very first line is like, all right, this is, you know, day one of Winnie the Pooh, blood and honey table read. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you go, what am I doing?
Does it sit in the actor where he goes, wait a minute, hold on. My agent kind of was fuzzy on the details. Did you say Winnie the Pooh, blood and honey? What exactly is this?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I must have read this wrong.
Exactly. And it's like the writer is like, he either wrote this like, this is brilliant. This is a masterpiece. I can't wait. And he just stayed up all night writing it out. Or at some point he wrote it and went, what am I doing? You know what? I'm finishing this. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he just got it done. He got to the finish line.
Well, the author of the article, what I love to, he brought up, he said, man, I'm all in on this. What if we have like Dr. Seuss slasher films or a House of Horrors version of Willy Wonka?
Yeah,
and
I
thought about that. I'm like, you know what? The original Willy Wonka, the Gene Wilder version of is kind of a House of Horrors.
It is. It is. I mean, a girl chewed gum and blew up to the size of a large blueberry. And then Mike TV was shrunken down where he could have been stepped on.
Yes.
And Augustus Gloop was sent through the pipes to the incinerator. Luckily, it wasn't turned on that day.
Right. So, I mean, all you got to do is change a few words and go, oh,
no, I'm sorry. That was Veruca Salt.
That's right.
Was sent to the incinerator, luckily. Augustus Gloop was sent to the fudge room.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yes, he was sent to the fudge room.
His mother was like, oh, they're going to make a little chocolate. Oh, yeah, go get him. Go save him. Oh, God. Yeah. But if you could see a horror movie with that, it would be kind of wild.
I know.
So, all right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. Winnie the Pooh, blood and honey. Oh, God. That's funny. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.